This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
What's currently happening with Papua?
Well, essentially, it's probably in the worst state that we've seen for some years now. There's a clampdown by the authorities, the Indonesian authorities in West Papua. There are continuous allegations of atrocities and violations, human rights violations against a range of Papuans. Essentially, there's a complete standoff between the Indonesian position, which is that Papua, a province of Papua, and the province of West Papua, integral provinces of Indonesia, and that anything remotely sounding like support for independence is treason. And you see this in demonstrations which involve the raising of the Morning Star flag, which is the flag of the indigenous Papuan people, and people get people who do this get jailed for up to 15 years merely for you know, holding the flag. But in spite of that, so many Papuans are still doing it. There was a demonstration last year where in one of the smaller towns where people came out in T-shirts and dresses, you know, made out of Morning Star flags. So it's actually very hard for the authorities to stamp down on everybody who you know, stages these sort of protests. I think there's a certain view in Australia and New Zealand is that that the Papuan people just have to accept being part of Indonesia, but they have never accepted that. You know, West Papua was invaded by Indonesian paratroopers.
When did that happen, and why?
That was in the early 60s. Well, you see, the Indonesian position was always been that West Papua was part of, it was administered by the Dutch colonial authorities, and that therefore it was integral to be as part of the rest of the Dutch colony throughout the Indonesian archipelago. But of course, that's not the case. West Papuans are Pacific people. They're Melanesians, part of the Melanesian, section, if you like, of the whole of the Pacific. And just like in Timor-Leste, you know, people have the view that, where Indonesia also invaded, in that case it's rather different because Timor-Leste was a Portuguese colony, had been for 400 years, and then they declared independence, and a week later the Indonesian military invaded, and that was ostensibly because they didn't want a so-called left-wing government on their doorstep, and the rest of the world turned a blind eye, particularly Australia and New Zealand, because they were following the US lead at that time. And people just accepted, it's they've done this. It's now Timor-Leste is now part of Indonesia, and they'd never get their independence. But of course they did. 24 years later, had the referendum, and there's a resounding vote against being part of Indonesia, and Timor-Leste redeclared, because a lot of people say, well, they got independence in 2002. No, this was a reassertion of independence in 2002, because they took independence in 1975 originally. Now, the purpose of this little tale is to show that the parallels with West Papua. So people thought, Timor-Leste will never become independent. So Papuans have the hope that they will become independent eventually as well. So the pressure has been building up. The Indonesians hope that, had been hoping that in recent years, with the, they agreed to an autonomy status for the two Papuan provinces. And one of the reasons why I split it, because West Papua was split up into two provinces, was to try and divide and rule. And of course, that hasn't succeeded. And in spite of transmigration, where many Javanese have settled in West Papua, to gradually the whole idea is to take over the majority of the population, outnumbering the indigenous Papuans. And the Indonesians have thought that over time, they'd basically sort of crush the pro-independence moves. But in fact, they've been becoming stronger and stronger over the last 5 years. And they're building up all the time. And I think it's really important that countries in the region put self-interest aside and think about human rights instead.
So why do you think New Zealand and Australia, and I'm assuming here that Fiji, aren't really paying any attention to this or don't want to get involved?
Well, in the case of New Zealand, we've tended to follow foreign policy agendas set by Australia, particularly in the Southeast Asian region. And Indonesia, militarily, has always been a concern for Australia, to the point where they haven't wanted to rock the boat on issues that they've not regarded as all that important. But, of course, every so often have a crisis, as they did with the spying allegations towards the end of last year, and where they got offside with both the government in Jakarta but also the Timor-Leste government over the spying allegations. So there's always an issue that comes up from time to time. But Australia's taken the self-interested view that Indonesia rightfully controls West Papua, and therefore it's an unfriendly act to actually support the Papuans. And New Zealand's taken that position as well. But I think that both of those official government positions are really out of touch with what a lot of people believe in Australia and New Zealand. Certainly those who have had contact with Papua New Guinea, for example, and West Papua, believe West Papua should be independent.
What about the other Pacific nations? Is Fiji making any sounds about it? Is Tonga making any sounds?
Well, there's the Melanesian Spearhead Group, which is a subgroup in the Pacific. The Pacific Islands Forum is the main political organisation, but increasingly in recent years, the Melanesian Spearhead Group, which includes Papua New Guinea, the Solomon Islands, Vanuatu, Fiji, and also New Caledonia, or particularly the FLNKS, which is the pro-independence group in New Caledonia. They've been taking a position, and Vanuatu as well, been taking an increasingly stronger position in support of Papua. Now, Vanuatu particularly has had a long history of strong backing for the Papuans, and there are Papuan independence groups that are actually based in the capital of Vanuatu, Port Vila. Last year, the Melanesian Spearhead Group had a congress in Noumea, New Caledonia, and West Papua became an important issue before that forum, and the West Papuans asked for for recognition as observers. And Indonesia already had recognition as observers, and so Indonesia was very upset about this. And Indonesia tried to lobby to stop the MSG from actually taking out a full-out statement in support of West Papua. And the Indonesians offered, well, look, we'll host you for a fact-finding mission.
And that fact-finding mission.
Yes, fact-finding mission. And in the end, that became the MSG agreed. But in the end, it became very, very controversial because the chair country was Fiji, and while Fiji didn't want to sort of rock the boat with Indonesia. And so Vanuatu, being the harshest critic of Indonesia, declared it wasn't going to go. And so they refused. They boycotted the fact-finding mission. And then the other countries went, and they were railroaded from Jakarta then to Jayapura, the capital of West Papua, and controlled about who they actually sort of talked to. But they didn't count on the fact that Papuans themselves had major rallies and demonstrations. And so the people in the mission from the MSG countries saw for themselves that people are agitating, they want independence.
Do you think it's enough?
Certainly, they want self-determination. Self-determination is certainly the next step in the direction of independence.
Do you think this is, say, my generation's East Timor?
Oh, yes, definitely. And that's why I gave that example and told a little story about East Timor, because it just shows that there never to lose hope. And I think that's what the Papuans are reckoning on, that there will be a world awakening. And because that by rights, it's actually still a responsibility of the United Nations Decolonization Committee. And so Papuans hope that they make enough noise about what's happening, that the world will eventually sit up and take notice and actually intervene.
David, is this just a land grab by Indonesia?
Oh, of course. Indonesia doesn't see it quite like that. It sees that it's its natural right, because it was a Dutch colony, that it should automatically have been part of the arrangement when Indonesia fought for independence, defeated the Dutch, and that West Papua should have been part of that. And so they have no qualms about it. You know, it is part of Indonesia, an integral part of Indonesia, even though culturally, politically, religiously, and every other way, it's actually quite separate. But in the process, yes, it is a land grab in the sense that the overpopulation of the main island of Java has meant that this is a place where they could have the policy of transmigration. So many, many Javanese, about a million or so, have settled over many years in West Papua.
Is this? I'm going to compare it to, say, the Israel-Palestine conflict, where you see Israeli settlements happening in, you know, traditional Palestinian land, where they build villages, and the Palestinian communities are moved on. Is that kind of what's happening in West Papua?
Certainly. Well, there's a parallel. There's a parallel there, I suppose, because yes, the Indonesians, they've created their own villages, and they've actually sort of built these parallel places. They've brought in the cultivation, rice, etc., the sort of things that weren't there before. So there is some parallels, but major differences as well. I mean, West Papua is a vast land, and there isn't the the situation of walled, and like the wall that Israel created, and the way that Israel cynically is, you know, sort of bulldozed and destroyed Palestinian homes.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.